Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Because He loves you so much, He's moving by His Spirit. If you're hearing the Word of God, and it's encouraging you, understand that's not a happenstance accident. The Lord had thought in it. He knew that you would be listening at the time that you hear His Word. And that doesn't just go for this broadcast, but for any time you hear a man or a woman of God ministering the Word of God, and the knowledge is blessing your life. That's because the Holy Spirit knew that you would have ears to hear that day. And He prepared people that don't even know you or anything about you. He's using us like a tool to talk to you. That's why I say the Holy Spirit is moving by His Spirit. See, He loves you. He knows who you are, what you've done, your potential, and what He can do in your life. And He wants to get your attention. The Lord wants your attention. One day, you're going to say, Lord, if I had only known, I wouldn't have done this or that. And God knows that you would do right if you knew better. So he put people in your path to help you, so that before He returns, which is soon, which is imminent, He can take you with Him. He loves you so much. He cares about you. So when you hear people saying things that pertain to your life, and you know that they don't know you, you don't know them, and you don't even know anybody that knows them, and even if you do, it was the Holy Spirit that caused them to say what you need. He's good that way. He's done me that way. He set me up. He had people in my life to help me know Him. And now I have a relationship with Him. So I know the handiwork of God. I know that He loves us so much. And sometimes when I listen to the radio broadcast, I listen to the radio broadcast too. And I like to hear, make sure everything come out right. And I like to listen to it just because it's important. But these are pre-recorded broadcasts. So when I listen to it, sometimes it's as if I never heard it before, because God give me what to say. And I love to listen to other people that God is mightily using, because we're in this thing together. We are the body of Christ. And if we operate like Jesus operated, see, Jesus, He sought the Father. He didn't do anything without the Father's approval. Ministry-wise, He didn't do any. He didn't make His own decisions. He went to the Father. Somebody would say, well, I thought Jesus is God. He became a man. He did, but He kept protocol. He got baptized by John the Baptist. And then he didn't do anything ministry-wise unless the Father approved it. See, that's what preachers got to go back to, following God. What's happening is they're following their seminar teachings. They're following what people do. They're following the religious culture. But if you follow God, it's totally different. People who follow God, and see, most people are capable. That's why you go to church, you sit in the back of the pew somewhere, and the preacher reading your mail, he talking about things that pertain to your life. He don't even know you. He may love you, but He don't know you. The Holy Ghost knows you personally and calls that preacher to say what you need. Because Jesus Christ is alive. Now, this don't happen in other religions. In other religions, God's not involved. They tried to go to Father God without Christ. And the Lord loves people, but they're just doing what they normally do. But see, God is alive. Our God is alive. Jesus Christ linked us to the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was interested in your salvation. Other gods are made up by man and Satan to drive you into darkness and off the cliff and into hell. That's the purpose of other religions. God didn't ordain. Now, God loved the people. I don't hate people because I didn't say that. I'm just pointing out something that you got to go back to what's the origination of this thing. if when you go back to what God, when you study what happened in the first place, and then God's response to what happened, it was always to redeem mankind. And now, God is calling. See, Joel, the prophet Joel said that the day will come that your sons and your daughters will prophesy. That was unheard of. The only people that heard from the Lord and prophesied were the kings, the priests, and the prophets. And sometimes it was rare, but sometimes there were prophetess, women prophets. Isaiah went to the prophetess. He was married to a prophetess, and they had a son called Mereshalalashbaz. You can read about it in chapter 8. Deborah was a prophet. And people want to say, well, women can't preach. In God's house, there's neither male nor female when it comes to his spiritual work. And the first person to preach that Jesus was raised from the dead was a woman. So sometimes people, they love tradition more than they notice tradition more than they notice the word. But see, God is wholesome. He loves everybody. Everybody has potential in Christ. There are five types of ministers: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, in that order. Well, if God called you to be a teacher, that doesn't mean you're irrelevant, because that calling was last. See, in God's house, teachers, they train apostles. They teach apostles that's coming up. It's not about what office you hold. All of them are very important. Apostles come from teachers. Teachers come from apostles. Prophets bless everybody. Pastors help raise the body of Christ so they can be productive. Evangelists go out and tell people about Jesus and work miracles. Now, all of them are necessary. Some apostles come to the Lord because of an evangelist. Then they're taught by pastors and teachers. See, you can't honor God with Satan's mind. You got to drive out Satan's mindset. All the preachers that try to make themselves first become last. All of them do. If you're better than everybody else, God puts you in the back. But those that love everybody and they seek the Lord and honor him and follow him, God put those first. Now, you may have a bigger congregation or whatever, but that doesn't matter. It's the anointing that God put on a person. People that love him and honor him. See, you can't love God and hate man. The way you love man is the way you love God all the time. If you don't love your brother and you say you love God, you just lie. If you love God, you love man. And if you really love God, you love every man. You don't hold animosity against people. And I'm going to put this out there. It doesn't really matter what others do. That's irrelevant. Are you going to love them or not? If you love God, you'll love them. They're not going, and I promise you, most people are not going to do you right. A lot of people will do you right. But there are many people that are never going to do you right. But you got to love them anyway. Because God loves us anyway. He loved us, and we were rogue. We were roguish when he found us. We were not good people. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And God laid his life down for us. He saved us. He made it easy so you can go to heaven. Now stop being roguish and believe Jesus and get to know him and stop letting him be the stranger, the God somebody told you about. Get to know him for yourself, because he put a lot of effort in the relationship. Jesus bridged the gap between God and man. Now, the Lord loves you. Never forget his love. First of all, you got to get that down. You got to understand God care about my future. And he care about what happened to me. And he's not interested in taking me out. So you can't follow God with satanic thoughts and lies. Satan is not honest. He don't tell you the truth. He tell you lies. So you got to remember, don't let the devil shape how you see God. Let the word of God expose how God is. And then when you go and pray to him and he interact with you, he's going to back it up. He's going to be the one you know, not just the one that you heard about. And then he'll stop being that mysterious stranger. People love to say God work in mysterious ways. Actually, God just keep his word, and it's mysterious because they're estranged from the word of God. And they find out God is good. And then you hear people say God is good. Then they'll say all the time. And then they'll say all the time God is good. And they're telling the truth because they found out. Now these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. Everything's free. Check out the Living Letters page. I put some new stuff on there a week ago. This broadcast is on there in real time on the Audio 6 page. Everything is free. Download it. It'll download to your phone. You can listen to it, your tablet, your laptop. You can download the books and read them. Now, God loves you, and he wants to bless us. Now, I want to show you what happened to people. The last broadcast, we talked about how Israel got off track. They got off track in Judges chapter 2, after Joshua and the elders died out. The same thing happened in our generation. When the apostles died, then the people didn't treat Christianity too good. The kings of the day, one of the Caesars in Rome, I think it was Nero, he burned Rome and blamed it on the Christians and made everybody hate Christians. Then they killed Christians in arenas. After the apostles died, the apostles had the revelation of Jesus, and that's where I'm going. You got to go back and receive the revelation that Jesus died to give you. You got to have it. Don't think you're going to survive these days without knowing God for yourself. It's finna get tight, folks. They're coming up with new diseases. There are those that want to depopulate people on earth so that they can have more. There are those that want to start wars. There are those that want to kill Christians. There are those that want to kill poor people. So, but God love you. The enemy hates you. He's not honest. He'll give you ideas and deception ideas for fun, but it's got a price tag called death. Now, God came to give you life and that more abundantly. And so, and also, all you preachers out there, all you preachers that love to read God's word, and I know it's so convenient to have the Bible on your phone and on your tablet and stuff like that. Keep doing that. But go back and buy you some paper Bibles. Because if a war starts and the towers fall, then some of you are not going to have the word unless it's downloaded to your device. You need the Bible book, paper. See, that something that can't be taken if the internet goes down. Don't forget that. Now, I just threw that out there. But let's go back to Judges chapter 20. Now, see, after the leaders had died, Judges chapter 2, Israel started doing funny stuff. They started worshiping idols. And here it is, one of their tribes raped a man's wife, his concubine. And they raped her till she died, the children of Benjamin. So now it's time, they had to correct this. They had to drive out, they had to punish those guys. They had to kill the men that did this. So all Israel got together and went against the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin is one of the tribes of Joseph in Israel. All right, and now this is the point. Verse 8, and all the people arose as one man, saying, we will not any of us go to his tent, neither will we any of us turn into his house. But now this shall be the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up by lot against it, and we will take 10 men of 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, and 100 of 1,000, and 1,000 out of 10,000, to fetch food for the people, that they may do when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin, according to all the folly that they have worked in Israel. See, they went up to do war, and they organized themselves. Now let's skip on down. And they went to the Lord. And this is verse 18. And the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God. Now they knew to do that. Now watch what happened. And said, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. All right, the Lord answered. Now they got revelation knowledge from God. Judah shall go up first. Now watch what happened now. Verse 19. And the children of Israel arose up in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. And the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. And the children of Israel wept and wept before the Lord until even, and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? And the Lord said, go up against them. But remember, though, the Lord had told Judah to go up, but the men of Israel didn't do what God said to do. They went up instead. Now watch what happens. Now they're going up a second time, verse 24, and the children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day. Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel again, 18,000 men. All these drew the sword. Now remember, they were 400 against 25,000. So, okay, verse 26. Then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came into the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until the evening and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the ark of the covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thine hand. Now the Lord's having mercy on them. They still didn't let Judah go up first. For some reason, see, when God say do something, that's what you do. And that's the weakness of the church. That's the weakness of good people in the church. That's the weakness of the best leaders of the church. When God tells them to do something, they do something else. They let other people vote on what they do. They do what the people want instead of what God say do. And they can't have victory like they're supposed to. You can't be hard-headed and win. Jesus said, you can't be, if you're disconnected from the vine, you cannot bear fruit. If you're going to win in your life, you got to be connected to Jesus. You got to regard what the Holy Spirit give you. But see, people that bypass the revelation of God and treat it as an option, they never learn. They never bring forth fruit to perfection. And they always have the same problem and they can't figure it out. And they see, Israel, they did. They thought they were still in obedience. They didn't realize, I'm wrong. Now, I want to share something. People don't realize they're wrong. When God says something, you're supposed to hold on to that revelation because it's what you need. Remember something about the Lord. He loves you so much and he loves everybody that's counting on you. So miracles are going to happen if you follow through with what he say do. Now, God, he evaluates everything. Everything is evaluated. When he called you to the ministry, he evaluated everything. When he tell you what to do, he evaluated everything. If you just do it, you're going to learn things that others will never learn. It is impossible. Hear me good, folks. I love you. It's impossible to know God's ways if you always lean to yours. Now, in the course of this scripture, they didn't know what the problem was. See, the third time they were about to go to battle, they went before, And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, shall I yet go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? They've started doubting. Maybe this isn't in the will of God. But God told them to let Judah go up. But instead, the men of Israel went up. That's the problem. But they don't see it. And you can clearly see that as you study the scriptures. He said, shall I yet go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? Or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thine hand. And Israel said, liars in wait round about Gibeah. And the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on the third day, and put themselves in array against Gibeah as at other time. Now this time the Lord is with them, because he's having mercy on them. They still don't see their problem. Sometimes the Lord will work around your ignorance, but you still can't learn the best way. The Lord told me once, he said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. So they never learned what the problem was for themselves. We're reading about it. We got the God's eye view. We're looking at what was written about them, and we see the problem. And this is the thing. The children of Benjamin went out against the people and were drawn away from the city. And they began to smite of the people and kill as at other times in the highways, of which one goeth up to the house of God and the other of Gibeah in the field, about 30 men of Israel. And the children of Benjamin said, they are smitten down before us as at the first. But the children of Israel said, let us flee and draw them from the city into the highways. And all the men of Israel rose up out of their place and put themselves in array at Baal Tamar. And the liers in wait of Israel came forth out of their places, even out of the meadows of Gibeah. And there came against Gibeah 10,000 chosen men out of Israel, and the battle was sore. But they knew not that evil was near them. And the Lord smote Benjamin before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed the Benjamites that day, 25,000 and 100 men. And all these drew the sword. These were fighters. And the Lord gave them the victory this time. So the children of Benjamin saw that they were smitten, for the men of Israel gave place to the Benjamites because they trusted into the liars in wait, which they had set beside Gibeah. And the liars in wait hasted and rushed upon Gibeah, and the liars in wait drew themselves along and smote the city with the edge of the sword. Now there was an appointed sign between the men of Israel and the liars in wait, that they should make a great flame with the smoke, with smoke rise up out of the city. When the men of Israel retired in the battle, Benjamin began to smite and kill the men of Israel, about 30 persons, for they said, surely they are smitten down before us, as in the first battle. But when the flame began to rise up out of the city with a pillar of smoke, the Benjamites looked behind them, and behold, the flame of the city ascended up to heaven. And when the men of Israel turned again, the men of Benjamin were amazed, for they saw that evil was come upon them. Therefore they turned their backs before the men of Israel unto the way of the wilderness. But the battle overtook them, and them which came out of the cities they destroyed in the midst of them. Thus they enclosed the Benjamites round about, and chased them, and trod them down with ease over against Gibeah toward the sun rising. And there fell of Benjamin 18,000 men. All of these were men of valor. Now, see, when God is with you, no man can defeat you. But if you break protocol, hear me good, because I love you. If you break protocol, you're going to be defeated. And you're going to have unnecessary losses and unnecessary casualties. So it is in life. And the problem is when you break protocol and you don't know it, you're going to break protocol again.